Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, turn again to Hebrews chapter 9. But while you're turning there, I just want to remind you that tomorrow is Memorial Day. And we live in a country that we're so blessed. We don't know how blessed we are. Some of us blessed because we're eating, you know, hamburger instead of filet mignon, or we're, you know, we don't have, our pantry is not stuffed full. In most parts of the world, they're believing God for rice and beans, and they're believing for that for today, not to have a pantry full of it. We're just blessed, and one of the main reasons that we're blessed is because God has stamped His hand on the United States of America. But it's not just enough for God to stamp His hand. There are men and women who have to stand. Right? And Memorial Day is about all the men and women who've lost their lives defending our country or fighting for our country. And I don't want to go into a long thing, but I just want to replay the history of you for just a minute. There was a day, it's called D-Day. And it was an impenetrable force. The Germans had set up, you know, along the line of and up on the cliffs, and it was just impenetrable. It's like, how in the world can we win this and get back into Europe where they've absolutely, you know, got a stronghold? How can we do that? So they came up with this plan, and they sent literally hundreds of thousands of men on ships and any vessels that they could get a hold of. They weren't just Navy ships and Army ships. I mean, there was all kinds of ships that went over. But here's what happened was just, you know, almost miraculously, the weather was foggy, so that the lookouts couldn't see the ships coming in until the last minute.
Hallelujah.
Right? But watch this. As they went in, here are these men rushing. I happen to know one of them. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. But they went rushing onto this beach with 50 cal machine guns and cannons and all kinds of artillery hitting that beach. And so they're running up the beach, and all of these people are losing their lives. I mean, right next to him, the guy that they just were joking with or whatever, he's laying on the ground, and they got to continue on. Right? But they won the day. They took the beach. And then they took Europe. Right? Come on. So what am I saying? I'm saying we have a lot to be grateful for the men and women who sacrificed for our country. So Memorial Day, yeah, it's about picnics, it's about all of that, but really we just need to thank God for the courage, the strength of those veterans, and there's some veterans in the room today, who've given their lives for our country. Amen? Every veteran has made a sacrifice for his country, some the ultimate sacrifice. You know, I've known a few Vietnam veterans, because that's how old I am, right? And they came back, and they were brought back to a hostile environment when they came back. But all of them, all of those Vietnam veterans who were in combat, brought Vietnam back with them. What do I mean? Many of them I've told me before that, well, I'm back in Vietnam every night in my dreams. I see the faces. I see the, you know, all of that. And so the sacrifice that they made, when we talk about Memorial Day, yes, God bless America, all of that. But really it's thank you, Lord, for the men and now the women who are on the front lines and sacrificed themselves. And we ought to spend just a little minute praying, Lord, that you would bless them and touch them. And those that have PTSD and those that are suffering in their bodies from chemical stuff, Lord, we just pray over them right now. We are grateful for them. We're not going to forget them. We ask you to bless them in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning about the blood on your lips. Anybody ever had a bloody lip? Anybody ever give a blood? No, that's a different story. But right. Blood on your lips. But I'm not talking about the kind that comes out from your flesh. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus on your lips. The blood on your lips. Lila was giving us the testimony of that man. He didn't have a great voice, but the power of that song is he knew what the blood of Jesus had done for him. And when he began to sing it over and over again, it affected everybody around them. And a guy who can't sing very well over in England singing this, and they brought him into the studio, and it's affected people here. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus on your lips can make a difference not only to you, but to those around you. Yes. The world won't understand it. Don't worry about that, because there's not power in their understanding. There's power in the blood. All right. Let's get to it. Hebrews chapter 9, we'll start in verse 11. It says, but Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not made of this creation. It's talking about Jesus going into the tabernacle that's in heaven. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Everybody say once and for all. In other words, he doesn't have to go back into the temple when you blow it, because it's a done deal. He doesn't have to go back into the temple when a sinner gets, you know, convicted and comes in and gives their heart to Jesus. Jesus says, well, just a minute, God, I'll be right back. I got to go back in. No, it was a done deal. When he went into the Holy of Holies with his blood and it was accepted, that was an eternal sacrifice that's done. Oh, the blood of Jesus. That still applies to you today. In fact, I'll tell you this, that every promise that God has given to you in his word is because of the blood. That blood that was shed for you, and I'll tell you, that blood that you received when you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Again, we had a DNA change in the spirit. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more, everybody say, how much more, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How many of us walk around with a conscience that is full of guilt? A conscience that's full of your past? You're not applying the blood. Because if the blood applies as far as God is concerned, that's gone.
Yes.
And you might have your opinion, and others might have their opinion, but don't worry about yours or theirs, because God supersedes them both. And if God said he cleansed my conscience, it's... There may be ramifications on this earth, like, you know, if I knocked off a bank and I, you know, got sent to prison, I'd be a felon, I'd be on my record, and I have to deal with that. But as far as God is concerned, it's gone. So in our minds, we are allowing guilt to come in and keep us back where the blood wants to push us forward in God. Be easy to get bogged down in all of these things, because it's so good. But go with me to Romans chapter 3. And some of this is review, but it's good going over it again. Amen. Chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness because His forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at present time His righteousness that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has his faith in Jesus. God did the work. Jesus paid the price. Our faith allows us to enter in to what he accomplished. Right? Now watch this. It's really awesome. In the verse before, verse 23, it says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so we're all in the same boat. You might be the best sinner that there ever was, but you're still tainted, right? We still need the Savior. We still need Jesus. But watch this. The moment that we accepted His sacrifice, you'd see when you say, Jesus is my Lord, or Jesus the Messiah is now come and my Lord, what you're saying is, I'm entering in to the covenant that was not between me and God, but was between the Son and the Father. God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So when we enter into that, we're entering into that covenant. And what's our part? To believe. To believe. To believe. Now watch this. Believe carries us over our feelings and our thoughts if we'll let it. What do I mean? I believe that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, really? Really? You know what you did? Right? And you know, your brothers and your sisters and your cousins will come up and remind you of all of that you should feel guilty over the mistakes that you've made. Right? But you said, wait a minute. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I'm in Christ Jesus, therefore He took the condemnation that I deserved in His flesh so that there is right now no more condemnation. So what do you have to do? You have to speak to yourself. Because faith is always twofold. It's in your heart, but it needs to be in your mouth. Let me say that again. Faith is twofold. It's got to be in your heart, but it also has to be in your mouth. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, most of you are very familiar. It says that if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be redeemed. For with the mouth, come on, with the mouth comes confession and I'm missing that up. But watch this. It's so good. Faith always is in the heart, but it's not established till it comes out of your mouth. So faith in the blood of Jesus can be in your heart, but it's not going to affect you externally until you begin to declare it. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to start out in verse 16. For where there is a testament, there also is necessity be the death of the testator. In other words, a will. I don't know how many in here have a will, but your will's no good unless you die. Until you die, it's just a piece of paper. But if you die, that will dictates what you have and where it goes. Right? So that's what he's saying here. Verse 17. For a testament is in force after men are dead, and since it has no power at all while the testator lives, Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet and wool, hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels and of ministry, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And again, remission is not just covering. Remission is taking what was there and taking it completely out of the way. But I just want to paint this picture for you for a minute. Here's the sacrifice, and they kill the animals and they drain the blood. And so the blood is in basins. And then they take hyssop branch with all the little leaves on the hyssop branch, and they dip it in the blood, and they sprinkle not only the priest, but they sprinkle all the furniture. And they sprinkle the lampstands and the laver, everything is water and the Spirit, right? Sprinkling it. They go even into the Holy of Holies, and before they go, the priest takes that blood that's been sacrificed and he dips that in hyssop, and he's going like this. I was raised Catholic, and I know some of you were. We had holy water. And at funerals in different places, the priest will do this. He'll dip that little thing in the water and go like this and over everybody and blessing them with that. Well, water's one thing. Blood's a completely different thing. But with the hyssop, he is putting blood all over the place. That might sound gross to you, but he goes on to record that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And the purpose was to cleanse and to sanctify and to purify all those articles so that the sacrifice would be accepted. All right. Now to Hebrews. Wait a minute. Yep. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh man, that just thrills me. None of us in this room in ourselves could even step near the holiest of holies. Under the Old Testament, it was just the high priest and once a year, and he better have done things right. Because if he didn't, he'd be zapped. But listen to, again, what it says. Therefore, brethren, those of us who've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, having boldness. I belong here. I belong here. And this is so cool. This is so cool. You think, well, and people today will go, well, you know, the Jews belong more than the Gentiles. And no. It's all who are covered by the blood of Jesus, right? Right. And some say, well, yeah, but they're the natural root and we're just adopted in. I've told you this story before, but there was a young kid and he'd been adopted and there was more siblings in the family and there was like, you know, brothers his age and a couple older, and they're all sitting at the table, and one of the older brothers wanted to get his goat and said, "Well, Johnny, you're just adopted." Think about that for just a minute. You're sitting at the table. You're just adopted. And so Johnny took it and said, "Yeah. Mom and Dad had you. They wanted me." All because of the blood. You think about this for just a minute. What is the value of something? The value of something really is the price that somebody will pay to get it. You might have a car, you think, man, this car is great. It's worth $10,000. And you go, and you put it up on sale for $10,000, nothing happens. $8,000, nothing happens. $6,000, nothing happens. $5,000, man, I'm practically $3,000, and somebody says, I'll take it. The worth of something is not what you think it's worth, it's the value that somebody will pay for it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I want you to take that word world out for just a second. For God so loved Bruce. So the value that God places on me is the life of his Son and the blood that's connected to it. So good. So good. Now go with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Are you thankful for the blood? Are you thankful for that? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 11. And verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. There's others that say, have the faith of God. There's another version, and I like this one. It says, have belief in the faithfulness of God. Trust in his faithfulness. What does that mean? You can count on him. You can count on him. You know, I've known a lot of people in my life, and some faithful, some not so faithful. But there have been certain people that I knew that if they said they were going to be there by 8:30, they're going to be there at a quarter after 8. Because they don't want to miss the time that they're supposed to show up. If they, being evil, know how to be faithful, how much more can your heavenly Father be faithful to you when you ask? We trust in your faithfulness, O God. We trust in your faithfulness. I just got to say this. His faithfulness is mightier and stronger than your ability to screw up. Are you hearing me? His faithfulness is stronger, is more powerful than every mess up you've ever done. All right. I just love this. I heard this the other day, I think it might be this morning, the preacher was talking. He says, you know, I've had a lot of trouble with people all my life. Any of you have trouble with people? Yeah. But he said, you know the one I've had the most trouble with? Me. With me. What I think about myself, what I say about myself, the most trouble I've ever had with me. He said, so I look in the mirror and I say, you, look at me, you. He says, I don't like your attitude. And we're going to change that. Hello? I don't like the way you feel condemned all the time. I don't like the way you don't feel like there's any hope. We're going to change that. I'm talking to you. You need to do some talking about yourself. Yes. To yourself. Yes. And watch this. This is really good. Mark 11, 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Three times the word says is in there. Three times. So what does that mean? If you're not saying something, you're not in faith. Your faith isn't operating. Go on, verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I want to read 23 again. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, you got a mountain? Do you have a mountain? Is there something in your life that you're struggling with? Then you have to say something to it. Mark Hankins, great, great preacher. He said, your mountain, and the Lord spoke this to him, your mountain needs to hear your voice. Your mountain needs to hear your voice. But your voice needs to be speaking the right things. Oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. You never touch me. You never bless me. You're never, God, you're always good to this person, but you're never good to me. God, I don't know why. I must not deserve it. I must not. No, I don't care whether you feel it. I don't care whether it sounds right coming off your lips, because sometimes it won't. But you say, no, Lord, I'm standing in the holiest of holy places right now because the blood of the Lamb was shed and it was put into my heart. And so, Lord, I am going to speak about that blood and everything that that blood has purchased, God, I'm going to absolutely ascribe to myself. Verses like, listen, I can do all things through Christ. So it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter who's against me. It doesn't matter what I've done in the past. I can do all things through Christ. What does that mean? Christ is the Messiah who shed His blood for me. And therefore, it's through Him that I can do this. And it's through His blood that I can do whatever He asks me to do.
Yes.
Whatever it is. If He says to preach, I can preach. If He says to sing, I can sing. If He says to give, I can give. No matter what it is, if He tells me to forgive, I can forgive. So watch this. Your mouth or your tongue is the hyssop branch that slings the blood. We need to be slinging blood over everything. Lack, I'm slinging the blood over you because the blood has made me one with Christ. And He said that He would supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on. Mind, I'm slinging the blood over you. You're telling me I can't. Well, I just want to sling a little blood over you and say that through Jesus Christ, I can do all things. There's nothing impossible for me because I believe in the work that Jesus did on the cross. I'm slinging some blood. We need to sling some blood over our nation. We need to sling some blood over our church. We need to sling some blood over our city. We need to sling some blood over our friends. We need to sling some blood over our family. We need to start speaking about and seeing and get a hold of the enormity of the power that's in the blood of Jesus. Come on. Do your kids look too far gone?
Nope.
Sling the blood. Sling the blood. Do you seem like you're useless, hopeless failure? I'm telling you, sling the blood. Paul said it this way. He said, I who am the least of all the apostles, I should never have even been called because I persecuted the church. I brought people in that were killed because they were followers of Jesus Christ. I mean, there is no way that I should be qualified to do what I'm doing. But the blood. The blood. But the blood. But the blood. Instead of letting the devil tell you, yeah, that's what he said, but. And he starts talking to you about you. You say, but the blood. I'm not standing in me. I'm standing covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm no longer a citizen of this earth, but I've been transferred into the kingdom of his dear son. I am covered with the blood. And so I am going to start pleading my case based on the criteria that's written in this word. Come on. If he called me worthy, I will not allow myself to speak about my lack of value. And again, I'm not talking about in myself. You understand? I couldn't do anything of eternal value in myself. But it's not determined how old I am. It's not determined how good looking I am. It's not determined what sex I am. It's not determined by what race I am. Yeah. It's determined by what I'm covered by. Yeah. I've got an insurance policy. And it covers everything. Have you ever heard of an umbrella policy? An umbrella policy is one of those policies where you got this insurance and this insurance, but just in case those aren't enough, I'm going to put an umbrella policy over all so that if this one doesn't come through, that one, I've got an umbrella policy that's made by the blood of Jesus, and it covers everything about me, everything that I've done, everything that I'm going to do. And so I plead the blood out of my lips. I plead the blood. I challenge you. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. I challenge you to start singing the blood songs. Yeah. On purpose. Yeah. Every day. On purpose every day. And see if your situation doesn't change. Yeah. Starting with your mindset. Hope will come back alive. Did you know, and I'm not a psychologist or anything, but I've read after some. Most people, watch this, most people who commit suicide, the reason that they do is because they have no hope. Or they can't see any hope. I'll tell you the story. This church, we'd only been going a little while. And there was a lady who came, and her son, no, it was her daughter. Her daughter was like 22 or 23 years old. She had a little 2-year-old son. And she committed suicide. And so lady asked me to come over. She lived in the university place. And I'm working there full time, right? So this is not like I had a lot of time to just go and fast and pray to know how to come up with the answer, right? So I got the call. I'm making my way over there. And I'm just saying, Lord, I need your help. I don't know what to say to these people. And so while we're going there, and I'm going over the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. And I got this picture in my heart. And the Lord kind of spoke to me. He said, somebody who commits suicide is like somebody that goes into a cave. And as long as they can turn around and see the entrance, they're all right because they know the way out. But in some caves, they go in and then they take a right. And they go, well, I know how I can get out because I just got to go back to this and turn left. But then they go to another. They go left this time and right, and they get back in the corners and they go, where am I? See, they can't see light anymore because they're in that cave. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that's people who commit suicide often are those who are in that cave of despair and they just can't see the way out. Why am I bringing that up? Because I think there's a few in here, somebody's in here, I don't know who despair has tried to get a hold of you because of your circumstances, because of what others have said about you, maybe because of something that's been done to you, right? But I'm telling you, there's hope. Don't listen to the lie that you have no hope. Don't listen to the lie that you're not valuable. Don't listen to the lie that there is no way out. Because the blood of Jesus has made you holy, has made you right, has made you perfect. And if you don't know Jesus, you're watching online, it's simple, but it costs everything. I lay my life down so I can pick up His. Hebrews chapter 13, and look at verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So much of the time we get somebody saved, and we should discipline them sometimes. Disciple them and say, well, no, this isn't right, that's not right, but this is what God says. But let me tell you this. You're not good enough. You're not disciplined enough to get right with God. Oh man, I haven't done this sin for 30 years. I haven't done that sin for 30 years. I haven't done that. Well, what about this sin? What about that lust that comes on you? What about, you know, that unforgiveness that comes upon you? Listen, I want to read that again. Verse 21, and make you complete in every good work to do His will. I can't even do the will of God on my own. Yeah. Right? I can't. But, and the Bible says, I think it's in 2 Timothy, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But the next verse says, for His will do in you what's necessary for you to get your will done. Yes. Watch this. Working in you what is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Anything that I've done good for God is because of Jesus. But watch this. My future is filled with His goodness. My future is filled with opportunities to let Him use me, display His love, so that people can know about the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today. And Lord, we just want to thank You for the blood. We want to thank You for what You've done. If I could have the worship team come up. Lord, we just want to thank You for everything that You've accomplished in us and through us. But Lord, there's people who might be watching online, and there's people maybe even in the room, Lord, that need a touch from you. So, Lord, we ask you to touch them and bless them. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just repeat this after me. Say, Father, I need you because I've sinned and I fall short. But I know that your blood is enough, and I know that Jesus was the sacrifice for my sin. So right now, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus is the sacrifice. He is the Messiah. I thank you, Lord, for sending your Son. I thank you, Lord, for his death, burial, and resurrection. I believe. And Lord, I thank you that because of that, I'm now your child. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're here in this room, and when I was talking about despair, nobody is judging you. Nobody at all. We want to see you free from that. Because we need you and you need us. So if that was you, just come up and get prayer when we close. Come on, just get up and praise with him. Let us pray for you. Don't worry about how many times you come to the altar. Man, come every week. I'm not leaving here without being blessed. Come for prayer. Come for prayer. Let's worship him right now.